You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
All right, good morning. We have Kathleen Hollop on the line. She's a Christian author. How are things up in upstate New York?
They are better. At first, we were swamped with a lot of rain, but it's cleared up somewhat.
Wonderful.
The temperatures are going up and up now.
Oh, yeah. Summertime is here now. By the way, Doolin, her name is underneath the picture to the left, but it's not over on the right-hand side of the screen. I don't know if that means it's making the YouTube or the Facebook or whatever. So I know it's not over there. It normally is, but what do I know? Just letting Doolin know that. So Kathleen, I know we can see an advertisement in Vero's Voice magazine for your latest book. What's the title of your latest book?
My latest book is titled Church God's Way.
And what provoked you to write this?
This book right here. Whoops. See if I can get it on there.
Yes.
Church God's Way. And it shows that God's people are of every race, every kindred, every tongue. God's people all over the world, there are people that know Jesus in their heart, love God, and are trying to follow God. So it's called Church God's Way. It's all biblically based on the King James Bible. And the only thing I changed was some of the verbiages, because people don't go around saying, he seeth, he heareth, you know, he will see, he will hear, not he seeth, he heareth, you know. So I've changed the verbiage to current day verbs. But the book talks about some of the errors that have gotten into the churches. It talks about the importance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So there will be signs, wonders, miracles happening again in the churches. It talks about the fact that a lot of pastors are graduating from Bible colleges and they're taught intellectualism and not to walk led by the Spirit of God. So it talks about what we really need to be armed and dangerous to the devil.
Well, you know, as soon as they took prayer out of the schools in 1963, the recidivism rate of those who got in problems with the law went way up. Teenage pregnancies doubled. All kinds of bad stuff happened when they decided to take God out of the schools. Things seem to have opened up a little bit. I mean, we have a president who actually says the name of Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of fluff that talk about, oh, the Lord or God. Most people don't say the name Jesus because Jesus said, well, people find offense with me. They don't like me because I show the world that their deeds are evil, and people don't want to know that their deeds are evil. They want to just do what they want to do when they want to do it.
That's true, Rat. You know, the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on Jesus will have everlasting life. But God sent his son into the world not to condemn us, but to save us. But the condemnation is that men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And if they're evil, they hate Jesus. They hate the name of Jesus. They absolutely hate the fact that they're sinners. They don't want to repent. They don't want to admit that they're a sinner. And they think they can get to heaven doing all kinds of wickedness. And the sad part is they won't make it. Without Jesus in your heart and life, you cannot go to heaven, because we're all sinners. We all die. We all are dead in sin, all of us. There's not one righteous person on the whole planet. The only one that was ever sinless is Jesus Christ, and he's God.
Well, you know, there's people that are self-righteous. First of all, there are people that do know God, but then they get arrogant and get kind of cocky and puffed up with knowledge, and they think that they somehow are righteous on their own. But no, it's only through the blood of Jesus. That would keep them humble if they really catch that. And then you've got people in the world that want to think that they're good people and that they are clean and wholesome and absolutely pure. And they're very quick to judge others to make themselves feel better. And that's called the self-righteous also. And either one is a vortex, a hole of darkness, when you think you're good enough on your own. But, you know, the funny thing about is coming to know the Lord, I was 29 years of age, is that it's so much better. It's kind of like, you know, you can drink, people drink and they get high at 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock, right? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And for a second, you may feel like this buzz. And then a few minutes later, you're actually kind of like you're fogged up and you're unhappy because it's not a pleasurable thing. It's a depressant. And you're actually sadder than when you first took a drink. And the thing about having the Lord is it's, you think you're giving up a lot to gain, but you gain so much more by surrendering to the God who actually breathed life into you, you know?
Well, actually, when you come to Jesus, all of the depression, the guilt, the self-hatred, the condemnation, the fear, the trepidation gets taken out of you, and you feel God's love come into you. You know, I was radically saved. I'm one that was into a lot of things I should not have been into. And one day I came to the end of myself and I cried out, God, if you really exist, help me. Mm-hmm. I went to my job at Indian Point and two other security officers came to my booth and said, do you want forgiveness for every sin you've ever done? The devil was telling me God could never love you. God could never forgive you. You've blown it. You've sinned too much. And that was all the devil's lies to me. And when they said, do you want forgiveness for every sin you've ever done? I started crying. I said, God could never love me. I've sinned. I've blown it. And they said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You're part of the world, aren't you? And I said, yes. And they told me that if I was the only person on this planet, Jesus would have came just to save me. And they asked me, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart and life? And I said, yes. I said, yes, I want to be right with God. Yes. So they prayed a simple prayer. They had me pray, Father God, I'm a sinner. But I believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross to save me. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord and help me to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. And it felt like this block of guilt, depression, despair, fear, self-hatred, and misery got lifted off my heart. And I felt God's love pour into my heart and into my life. And I felt clean for the first time in years. It was the difference between light and darkness. I had gone to church, but I didn't know Jesus. There's many people, they go to church. They think that by going to church every day of the week, they're going to go to heaven. But until they ask God's forgiveness for their sin and accept what Jesus did for them on that cross, they are not going to make it to heaven on their own. You know, we can't. Being good will not get you to heaven, because if you've told one lie or one little white lie or one little fib, you're a liar in the sight of a holy God. If you've stolen a pen or a paperclip or anything, you're a thief in the sight of God. If you've ever loved anyone or anything more than God, you've had a false God.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, if you don't mind.
Sure.
It's kind of personal, but maybe people out there could relate. Can you tell me what's some of the sins that you think were awful that you were guilty of before you knew the Lord?
Well, before I knew the Lord, I drank heavily. I was potty hardy. I thought that buying things would save me. We bought another house. I bought a piece of land. I was planning to be a real estate baroness by the time I was 40. I was part owner of a racehorse, one of those trotters. I actually invested in that. I invested in antiques. I was buying all kinds of things. Oh, if I buy this, I'll be happy. If I buy that, all it did was make me more empty. I thought, oh, I'll get married. My husband will fill that empty spot. He couldn't. Then I thought, well, I'll have some children. They'll fill this emptiness inside of me. That will satisfy it. And it didn't. Then I thought, well, I'll work 12-hour shifts 6 weeks a day. Oh, I'll fill it with work. That didn't fill it. I thought, I'll buy this, I'll buy that, I'll buy this. None of it satisfied that empty spot in my heart. I could be in a room full of people, yet that empty spot in my heart was always there. And I felt lonely, even in a group of people. I felt alone. And there is a spot in everyone's heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. Jesus said that those who come to me will not hunger, they will never thirst. He's talking about spiritual thirst, spiritual hunger that only he can satisfy. People try to fill that empty spot with drugs, alcohol, lust, perversion, things, money, power, and all kinds of things. But until they repent of their sin and ask Jesus in their heart, they'll always have
I'll tell you this, Kathleen. We're talking, by the way, with Kathleen Hollop. She's a Christian author. I'll tell you this, that the moment that I was 20 years of age, I thought, no, 29, I was 29, and I thought it was Jesus was utter foolishness. I was into Eastern religions. Well, the day that I got born again, March 22nd, 1983, in my living room, living in the ghetto apartment of Troy, New York, as soon as I surrendered to Jesus and I felt this enormous peace and joy, I immediately said, I didn't want to offend God, but I said, so this is why people do drugs. I said, the drugs are the counterfeit. This is why people take drugs. They're seeking this, this real connection with God. And that's it. You know, people take drugs, and it just doesn't work, you know. It just doesn't work.
There's no substitute for Jesus.
No.
And, you know, once I surrendered my heart and life to Jesus, and I started reading the Bible came alive. The Bible was written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So actually, the real author of the Bible is God, the Holy Spirit.
Well, people don't realize how strong God is.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Of the Lord, enter in and worship. worship the Lord our God, Jehovah.